today on Real Radio.
When I was looking at the Bible, it's when I got away. Oh, Mom, does God really exist? Is there really evidence that there's a God that exists? Then you look at science and it's like, oh my gosh, he sure does. Okay, and then I got right back into it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J. thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, with a message titled 100% Sanctification Guaranteed, Part 1. You know, Peter was, of course, a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first century church. In 1 Peter, we saw how Peter lovingly cared for others and faithfully pursued his passion to spread the gospel to those around him. But here in the book of 2 Peter, we see Peter knowing that his time was limited and a whole lot was at stake. Now, for this reason, his words are urgent and his message is straightforward to combat the vain and senseless arguments of a godless world. In the very concept of what life is, we're expected to grow and mature. Maturity is every believer's passion, to be a total and complete person set apart from this world and set into the kingdom of God. Now in chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, Peter's going to teach us on the stumbling blocks of false teachers, false prophets, and false churches. So today on day 2 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we need to cooperate with God in all that we do. It's not easy in the short term, but when we stop resisting God and lean into all that He has for us, our faith will grow and our diligence will be rewarded in heaven. And now in his message called 100% Sanctification Guaranteed, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We need to cooperate with God. We need to stop resisting God for this very reason. Peter is telling us, give all diligence, put effort, lean into your Christian experience, work at it. He said, I thought you weren't saved by works. I didn't say you're saved by works. Once you're saved, work at it. It doesn't keep you saved. But you roll up your sleeves and you get involved and you yield to what God wants to do. You cooperate with Him. When He says, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, you're cooperating with Him. You say, Jack, how does He speak to me like that? Reading the Word, reading the Bible, seeking Him. You know that. You hear that every week. My goodness, I was watching these sermons that were here in my absence. And every one of those pastors said the same thing every single time that you hear every week in their own words. Stay in the Bible. Read the Bible. Why? God is speaking. How do you cooperate with God? Know what God wants. It's all in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. In fact, Jesus put it this way in John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he who abides, you saw that big sequoia tree? The branches are stuck to the trunk, right? That's what it means. Stick to the trunk. Stay stuck. Bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, John chapter 15, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gathered them and throw them into the fire where they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. For by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. What an awesome statement. We want to say, Lord, you saved me. I'm with Peter. I'm with the church. Here I am, God. I'm saying, do whatever you want with my life. I just want to abide in you. I don't need to worry about all the details. I don't need to know all this stuff that, no, God, if I'm going to abide in you. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to live with you. I'm going to cooperate with you on a day-to-day basis. I'm going to be a disciple. You do whatever you want with me. Christian, I hope you've come to that place. Now, look, none of us have arrived. You understand that? If you're sitting next to somebody who thinks that they've spiritually arrived, that person is probably the furthest person away from arriving. Yeah. And let's be honest, the closer you get to Jesus, the more wretched you see yourself. Right. But the comfort is the more glorious He is. And so when you come to that place, it's just, Lord, I don't want to think anymore. I don't want to decide anything anymore. Now, this almost sounds wrong to somebody who's not a Christian. That's what's wrong with you people. You don't think, your brain, if you only thought, you wouldn't be a Christian. No, the exact opposite has happened. We overthought everything and we thought wrong about it. Then God opened up our eyes and then we started thinking about God. And then we started, and then like humans, we overthink it all. And then we make it difficult and we make decisions. And now I'm at the place in my life where it says, I say, Lord, just do with me what you want. Every time I try to take the wheel, I crush the thing. You say it, I'll do it. It's a great, wonderful place. Christian, yield to him. When the Bible here says giving, circle that word giving, by the way. It means to bring into or to deliver to present, to give 100% effort. Listen, Christian, you and I are to give 100% effort or supply. The word demands action. It demands the whole person. You and I are called by God as believers to cast ourselves fully upon the grace of God. And then the word diligence. This is a great word. It's also a word of action. It's also a word that demands the whole person. But it means to be dedicated. And it means to do it this way. Mark it down. So giving all of yourself, 100% of the supply of who you are, to the diligence. We are to make haste, zeal. We get the word strength, earnestness out of it. In other words, be quick to give yourself fully to God, to fully equip your life to be presented to God. Here I am, God, take me and use me. In 2 Peter, look, it's just a few verses down. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, he's going to say something similar. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. That's that word. To make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. That's a great verse, by the way. You're to be busy about developing your Christian experience. Why? Because God is the one who has saved you and given you eternal life. The encoded DNA of the Christian is to grow. I don't mean to upset anybody, but if this is from the Holy Spirit, let it sting, let it burn, and then let it be something that you grow by. I do not know if it's possible to be a Christian and have no desire to grow closer to Jesus and to seek his will for your life. Did you hear what I said? I don't think you can be a Christian and not want this. So, Pastor, I don't know if I like what you're saying because you're talking about me being a Christian every day of the week, every hour of the day. You mean in my thinking? In my breathing? Oh, yes. Yes. Now, I know this kind of a challenge doesn't do well for Sunday attendance. That's okay. If you get stung right now by the Holy Spirit and you run out of this building and you say, that really offended me, I want you to know it was not personal from me. It was personal from God. It's him saying to you, for years you have lived in a lie. You have cloaked yourself and veiled yourself in religion. You've played it in such a way that you've got all of this self-appointed morality, and you've done all of these things, you know, in a good way, and yet you're completely not saved. You're not born again. You did these things because you were supposed to do them, versus doing these things because you get to do them. The Holy Spirit is moving you and driving you. Every Christian, I believe, has a Holy Spirit imprinted DNA coded that from a little seed, you and I continue to grow. Amen. And I was encouraged looking at that giant tree and all of those great trees. Standing there, which, by the way, when you go there, we were standing there and everyone's whispering. I saw that. People are, take a picture of us. You want to take a picture? We'll just take a selfie right here. Oh my goodness, it's amazing. And I'm looking at the tree, and some woman was standing next to me. I didn't know who she was. And I said, what are we whispering for? And she said, her mouth, she went, because it's awesome. It's a sense of reverence and awe, you know? That something so small grew into something so big. And and yet you don't see it moving. How'd it get that big? 2,600 years. You'd think something so big, you would hear it grow. No. How about you? Do you and I stop and look at our lives? I know I do. I am so disgusted with how little I grow. I'm just throwing myself under the bus. If you want to come with me, hop on. Or get under. But I expected to be more patient by now. I expected to be more loving by now. Some of you are going, yeah, amen, amen. And some of you are going, oh. Those of you who are all shocked by that statement. We all want to go home with you today after service. But have you ever thought of that? Lord, I thought that was long gone in my life. Has something ever popped up and you thought that was dead 10 years ago? Where'd that come from? Hallelujah. Thank God that you can identify that that is the old you and that has no room anymore at the table of your life, does it? You don't have a chair sitting there reserved for that action or that thought or that desire. I'm going to give you two beautiful quotes from two tremendous theologians regarding this whole thing. Listen, everybody. Are you guys okay? Yes. Regarding salvation provided by God. It's all of him. And you and I following Jesus in discipleship, which is by his grace still, but all of us. In other words, cooperate with him. Give yourself to it. A.W. Tozer. Tozer wrote, and we'll look at it together. Tozer wrote this: what comes into your minds when you think about God is the most important thing about us. That's a great statement. It's 100% true. But listen to what C.S. Lewis says. How God thinks of us is not only more important, but is infinitely more important. Indeed, how we think of him is of no importance except insofar as it is related to how he thinks of us. You might look, leave it on the screen, you guys might look that these two quotes as being in opposition to one another. Tozer simply says, what you think about God is the most important thing. Lewis, in his depth, winds up saying, in all actuality, how he thinks of us, what he thinks of us, is important. Both these statements appear to oppose, both these statements are actually, what's the word, symbiotic? They are correlating. It's exactly what we're talking about. God looks at you as a Christian today in the person of Jesus Christ. I should have had, those of you who have sunglasses, I should have brought sunglasses. You put the sunglasses on and I'm now looking at you through the glass. Are you with me? Yeah. God looks at you and he sees you through the lens of Jesus Christ. Lewis is 100% accurate. That reality that God touches your life. Now, the thoughts that you think about God do become the most important things of your life. Why? Because it confirms the fact that God has done a work in you. You see, before you and I were Christians, we were terrified of God. If he even existed, we didn't want to know him. If we were being awakened to the fact that he might exist, we were scared. Rightfully so. I remember the night I accepted Christ, I was sweating. Nobody else was sweating. I was sweating. Greg Laurie went down that list in Revelation chapter 20 of how to inherit hell. That was the title of his message that night. June 20th, 1977, Monday night, his message was how to inherit hell. And he goes down a list of those, what those did to get into hell. And I don't remember what that list was. I'll make it up. Something like 10 of them. He's going down that list, and I about passed out at 7. And I was convicted and terrified and ran to Jesus for deliverance. In Matthew chapter 16, you guys, verse 13, you know this. Many of you have been to this very spot. Matthew 16, verse 13. Jesus, it's beautiful. The disciples have been involved in tremendous amounts of ministry. Remember, Jesus is taking them everywhere in ministry. They're just serving constantly, early in the morning to late at night. And Jesus says, he looks at me, he must have looked at them and, man, these guys are going to drop dead if we don't take a break. And he says to them, let's come away. Let's take a break. Time out. Time out from the world. I'm going to take you guys on a retreat. Some of you already know where we're going. And so Jesus takes the disciples way to the north. One of our favorite places in all of Israel. It's equivalent. It's gorgeous. It's like Lake Tahoe region. It's just spectacular. Jesus takes them up there for a break. And this is what happens. And when Jesus came, verse 13, to the region of Caesarea Philippi, it was very pagan. The Jews had marked that place because it was very, very pagan. He asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Notice, everyone mentioned, they're all dead. Everyone mentioned here, they're all dead, even including John the Baptist, they're all dead. In other words, you know, people are talking. And even though all these guys that we're going to mention are dead guys, they're very powerful guys, some people say that you're one of them back from the dead. So as wrong as they were, it's a supernatural observation. Are you with me? They're thinking deep. They're just a little off. He said to them, and he always says this to them. He always says this to you. May God say it to you. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? You see, that's the eternal question. Who do you say Jesus is? Everybody's got their opinion of Jesus. Remember, all the cults have their definition of Jesus. Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And this is the question that will be answered by all human beings by the time of the end. Who do you say that I am? Isn't that what God says in Proverbs 30, verse 4? What's my name? God says, what's my name? And what is the name of my son? If you know. And you and I want to shout down the halls of history and say, it's Jesus. Wow. So who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a statement. Wow. I bet you the disciple, Peter just goes, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I bet you John and James and those guys went, whoa. Listen to that, Peter. You know there was some reaction because look how Jesus reacted. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon Peter, the son of Jonah. His dad's name was Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. You're a pebble. But on this rock, massive rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. What rock? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the rock. Yeah. That's the foundation. Yeah. From that foundation, the germination, the growth of the church and of the believer and of you and of me is founded in the fact that thou art the Christ. Amen. Can you say today that Jesus, thou art the Christ? To say to him, he is the Christ means there are no other Christs. It's to say alone that he's Lord. You're not going to add Jesus on to your repertoire of things. He's the one. 100% sanctification, church, guaranteed means that we cooperate with God. So look at it this way. Look at verse 5. It's with a greater understanding. Can you write that down? How are we going to cooperate with God? Number one, greater understanding. A greater understanding. This is more basic and yet powerful than you might suppose. Look, verse 5 says, giving all diligence, add to your faith, and this is what we're going to build on in our study, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Circle the word virtue, circle the word knowledge. A better understanding of what virtue means. This is a fun word. You guys, jot it down. I think you'll like it. Arete is the Greek word. Nobody really cares about that. But the Greek god, Eros, is named through this name. The ancient Greek god. And Ares is the Greek god of war. And the word of the, listen, the word virtue does not mean polite. It doesn't mean being nice. It means, listen, it means to be or to possess tenacity. Please write this down. Give all diligence, add to your faith tenacity, moral courage. Listen, the word means to stand in the face of opposition. Can you stand in the face of opposition? When somebody mocks you for being a Christian or for you doing the right thing, somebody makes fun of you. Can you stand in the face of it? Do you know what, listen, do you know what you just did or what you're standing for, what you're defending, what your apologia is, what your argument is for why you believe what you believe, why you vote the way you vote? Voting expresses the way that you believe, what your values are. If people attack you for your biblical Christian worldview, the Bible says here, you're to add to your faith moral courage. Now, in other words, do you know why you are taking a stand? Please, church, listen, I love you. You know I love you, but listen to me. Don't ever take a stand because your pastor takes a stand in that area. Don't ever take a stand because Franklin Graham takes a stand in that area. Don't ever take a stand for something that, fill in the blank, so-and-so takes a stand. Are you hearing me? You say, but aren't we supposed to have examples? Of course we're supposed to have examples, but that's not the conviction for your moral courage. That's not virtue. You want to be able to stand for what you know absolutely is the truth, no matter what anybody says. Listen, even if you're the last man, woman standing, you know you're standing for what's true. Amen. Many people, I know my convictions. I always get this all the time. You're so dogmatic about things, and you're so stubborn. That's not true. I'm only dogmatic and stubborn about things that I'm fully convinced of. So are you. I'll never budge on this thing. Good for you. You have a conviction and you have an understanding as to what it is you're standing for. How much more for the Christian when we are commanded in the Bible, give all diligence to add to your faith. See, faith's the foundation. That's why I had this humongous introduction. Faith is that place where we're at, that God woke me up to his reality. He saved me from my sins. And ever since then, every day for the last 42 and a half years, I've been living with Jesus inside and out, upside down, left and right, day and night, black and white, hot and cold. He never stops. He never gives up.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in his message called 100% Sanctification Guaranteed, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. And you know, in your everyday battles, take heart. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. 100% Sanctification Guaranteed, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter, a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ in a very powerful way, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, here's just a reminder that if you've taken on the challenge to grow and mature in your faith, then join the thousands of others who watch and listen to Pastor Jack on YouTube. His channel is called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. You'll find messages, Bible studies, engaging interviews, live event videos, and a whole lot more. The Apostle Peter makes it clear to us that we need to stay engaged in our faith and diligent about learning and sharing with others what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. So head on over to YouTube for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, and be sure to hit that subscribe button as well as the notification icon if you'd like to keep up with the latest videos. You can access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel through YouTube or through our website. That's at jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.